On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
All right, everybody, I'm here with Morgan Gregory of the Cincinnati Reds organization. Morgan, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Well, first off, thanks, Chris, for having me, man. My name is Morgan Gregory, like he said, and I'm in my fifth season with the Cincinnati Reds organization. I've spent two in low A Dayton and one in high A Daytona Beach, and then I am in my second year as the assistant coordinator. And in that job, I am the Latin American coordinator as well as the rehab strength coach for the organization.
So you're traveling all over, Dominican mostly, right?
Dominican mainly. I do the occasional American affiliate. But yeah, pretty much Dominican maybe six, seven times a year.
Cool.
Awesome. Starting to love it down there.
Yeah. All right, man. So let's get right into it. You wrote an article for the PBSCCS titled Coaching the Republic Part 1. I read it, loved it. And I said, I got to get this guy on to talk about the article. So with that being said, just kind of go over a general overview for anybody that hasn't read it. I'm going to include it in the show notes, but just for the people that haven't read it, give us a kind of basic rundown of it.
Well, all of it's pretty much based on Plato's call for the philosopher king. It's call for a ruler who is in touch with every single piece of his kingdom and who never leaves a stone unturned and who understands that there's nothing that you can never know everything about anything, and that the best ruler is someone who never leaves any stones unturned and who continuously thirsts for knowledge of the people in his kingdom and the different facets of his kingdom and everything like that. And his call to the rulers or the philosophers to become rulers, as my article goes into towards the end. That's pretty much what the article is about from a strength and conditioning standpoint. I try to tie it in. And essentially through that, all of those words that I just said about Plato's Republic and the philosopher king, which is outlined in the article, is in strength and conditioning, the way that I liken it is that we have to be involved in everything a player is doing. And I believe it was Perry Castellanos last year did a talk at the baseball winter meetings talking about how many activities a player does in a day, whether it's hitting or early work of some type or how many activity or lifting or whatever it was, a conditioning session. And he talked about how many things throughout the day that player does. And it was just kind of mind-blowing to look at some of the numbers he had and how as a player struggles, they start doing more and more things or they start doing way less things. And I think that's a pretty great point, and it goes to what I was saying, that we really got to be in tune with everything that the player's doing. And that has to do with the way they're sleeping, the way they're eating. It has to do with their mental health and everything like that, and not just what did they lift that day? What did they run that day? How did their lift go? Or how did their running go? Strength and conditioning is becoming so much more than that. And I mean, as all these technologies, the recovery science, the sleep bands, things like that go to show that it's so much more to do with just staying in the box of strength and conditioning and staying in the weight room and just what are these guys doing in here, or, you know, staying between the cones. We've really got to even get outside the lines of the baseball field.
That's great stuff, and honestly, that's why I wanted to set this up, because I agree 100%. One of the quotes that you had in there was, a program is only as good as the adherence to it. So you kind of talked about, you know, being in touch with all the guys and not just being in the weight room. How are you creating that adherence and the buy-in from the players?
Well, I'll be honest too, that quote wasn't exactly mine. I think I even say in the article that is one of my mentor's quotes, and as is very true. I worked for a strength coach a while ago who said that the program is only as good as the adherence to it. And I think the best way to create that, and my experience, my limited experience in the 5 years I've been involved in baseball and from a strength and conditioning standpoint, the adherence is created through the players understanding that you do have each one of their individual best interests in mind. It's important for a strength coach to, yes, have the organization's best interests in mind, and I certainly do, and I'm sure we all certainly do. But beyond that, the player's individual interest, not only as a player but as a person, you know, holistically, I believe, the more that person believes that you are fighting for them as an individual, that you are truly trying to help them as an individual, not only on the field but athletically in general and total health-wise as well, the more they're willing to fight with you instead of fight against you. A lot of us strength coaches have fought with players with things, or maybe we've struggled with things. But when a player truly feels like you are arguing with them instead of just at them or against them, I think they'll go a lot longer of a way, you know, when it spans farther than just arguments, or when it, you know, not arguments in a bad way, but just, you know, what do you call it? Like constructive argument, or constructive argument of why is am I doing this, or why is it that I'm running like this, or lifting like this, or stretching this way, or doing these mobility exercises. Those arguments and those questions and those doubts, if you will, not doubts in a bad way, but doubts in a way of just trying to understand what they're doing, become more of education towards why is it that you were trying to, as a strength coach, help them get better. And that's one thing that I'm big on too, is making sure the player understands that I not only have their best interest in mind, but all of my energy at that moment is towards them, and that I'm just as invested and I want that investment from them. And that's how I believe the best way to create adherence, and that's been successful for me, is because each player is one individual, and a program isn't a blanket over every single person. There is individual facets of every program, and the more a player can feel that, the better I think that they will adhere to a program that you set for them.
I agree. One of the themes that kind of keeps coming up on the show is that we get more exposure to players than, and they're more willing to open up to us. So for them to know that, hey, you care about them and you have their best interest in mind, I think that's an easy way to get buy-in. So I like what you said about having all your energy going towards them at that moment. And they can definitely tell, and they feed off of it too.
I think you know, even from when I was an affiliate strength coach, really understanding how a player is doing on the field, and not just, you know, are you sleeping well? Are you eating well? You know, you're giving good effort. You're not giving good effort. Understanding how it is they are in the field, and not necessarily coaching a player up in any way, and not at all, you know, because we're strength conditioning coaches, and I would not condone that for myself. But at least just asking a player truly, you know, how are you? How are you doing, you know, with everything? Or, you know, say that one thing that really lets a player know that you are paying attention. I think that goes a long way. You know, not that we need to coddle players, and I'm not speaking about that at all, but there's a difference between coddling and courtesy. And I think being courteous and being civil towards a player, and not just speaking down at a player from the soapbox of we understand strength conditioning better than they do, and really going on the same level with them, goes a long way for a player to trust you, to trust me as a strength coach, to trust the fact that I do have their best interests in mind, and they would be more willing to come on the journey with me than for me just to shove them down a road and say that's the way I want you to go.
Yeah, one of the great parts about being at an affiliate is you watch a game every night, and that's kind of their domain, right? Like, they lift with us, they run with us, but at the end of the day, they play baseball. And if you show them interest in them playing baseball, and like you said, not necessarily coaching them up about baseball, but just watching them, see how they're moving on the field. Do they look sluggish? Do they look energized? You can use that to your own leverage. And it sounds like you've done that in the past. So kudos to you on that one.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it makes it so much more enjoyable to have good relationships with these guys. And, you know, it's fun for me. I still keep up with players that have been out of the game for 4 or 5 years that I had my first year. Just as much as I keep up with players that I see every single day. You know, at the end of the day, these are all men. We're all people, and we've got, you know, we've got real world stuff to deal with, and we've got real world things that span beyond the field. And it's important that that we share that together.
Oh yeah, my first year in baseball, I was with the Pirates, and I was in rookie ball, and now I'm in Double A, and some of those guys are up in Double A now. So when they come play us, they're like, "Man, it's good to see you," and it's so rewarding to just know that it's been years since you've seen them, but they remember what you did for them.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool to hear, man. So what can we expect for part two and any future editions? We talked a little bit off camera here, but where are you going to go in the future with these articles? Because I'm hoping you're coming out with more. I hope it's not just a one and done thing here.
Well, I've been writing since I was in college, and I minored in philosophy in college and was able to graduate a little bit earlier, so I wasn't able to complete it. But I took philosophy courses all throughout my college career, and I just really grew to love it. So I tried not to only continue my education, strength and conditioning, but I could try to continue the expansion of my own mind. So there's a couple of things that I'm reading right now. As I told you off camera, that the part two's kind of been ripped up and redone a couple of times. So it's a little bit out there right now, and we'll get into some of the things I've been reading lately. But I'll say this as kind of the teaser for part two. And I'm stealing this almost straight from our mental skills coach, from what we were speaking about, even I want to say it was a couple of days ago. We were talking about chop wood, carry water. And that kind of that saying comes from, after sitting under the tree of enlightenment for a while, and I don't want to botch the story up too bad. After sitting under the tree of enlightenment for a while, Buddha was able to find enlightenment. And once he was able to achieve it, and I guess that's a bad word, achieve it, but once he was able to achieve it, somebody came and asked him, said, how did you get there? How did you do that? And he said, I chopped wood and carried water before I did that. I just chopped wood and carried water. And the person kind of said, okay, well, now what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to chop wood and carry water. So the cool part about that and what we had talked about is, I hope Frank, our mental skills coach, watches this because I think he'll appreciate it. But what we had talked about was that's the same way that not only I want to do things, but for players as well. How did I get to where I am now, whether or not we call that successful or not? I did it doing a certain thing a certain way. I work a certain way. I'm diligent in a certain way. And my work ethic is a certain thing. Well, once you get to where you're going, well, what are you going to do now? If I'm an assistant coordinator or a coordinator, or if I get to the big leagues, well, now what are you going to do? I'm still going to work the same way. I'm still going to do the same thing. I'm still going to chop wood and carry water. The same way I got here is the same way I'm going to stay here. Not to say that we're not learning and growing, but don't abandon the things that you've been doing. So that's kind of been in my mind a lot lately. I've been putting a lot of stuff down on paper, whether or not it comes out into anything that sounds halfway decent. We'll let time tell that one.
Well, if it sounds anything like that speech, it'll be really good, man. You had my attention that whole time. That's really cool stuff, man. I like that. I like that. Yeah, that's good. So transitioning a little bit, and I'm interested to see what you say here. What do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I believe the one thing that people and I struggle with a little bit is the durability of players, what a player can undertake, not only from a mental but a physical standpoint, and still be able to keep rolling. I think when I first got into baseball, everything was so reserved. Let's just do this because we just don't want him to get hurt, and let's just do that because we just don't want him to get hurt. Let's not be heavy, but let's just do that so we don't get him hurt. And I think the more and more I realize the more I realize that players can take, not only players, but the human being in general can take a lot more than sometimes we give them credit for. And I think that the tough part, sometimes we miss out on possible gains or things that we could accomplish because we're being so reserved that we're not tapping into those areas that we could be tapping into that might propel them to another place. As we know, strength adaptations happen, by almost disrupting the body systems, and the body systems overtake that and get bet, and they are able to overtake that stimulus and move on from that and evolve to adapt to that stimulus. And that's how the body gets stronger. Then we give it another stimulus and the body is hurt, and then it adapts to that. And then that is the science of getting stronger. That is the short version of getting stronger. Well, when we stay back and we do everything that we know, I've seen a player do it, I know it's easy and he can get through it, we're almost not tapping into that, what can help them. I think the mental state is a lot the same, that the best way to move forward is to almost attack it in a way of disrupting the system in some way, so the system learns to adapt to that stimulus and then move forward from that. And so I believe that we can be a little bit more aggressive programming wise, even during the season, in order to keep a player not only maintain strength, but I don't see why we can't gain strength in the season. I get that a lot of people might see this and say, well, that's a kid who's never seen a 162 game season with a guy or what have you. But I have seen guys in 162 game season in the middle of it still deadlifting, you know, 80% to 90% of their max. I've seen guys still squatting up to 90, 95% of their max and be durable for the entire season. It is possible, but you've got to train the body to do it. You've got to be consistent with that throughout the season, throughout the cycle. You can't be reserved and be back and all this and then do it one time and expect it to go well. But the more that you push against those limits, the more the player will adapt to that, the more their mind will adapt to it and their body will adapt to it, and they'll be a bit able to undertake that throughout the season.
Really good answer. Really, really good answer. And I think the big takeaway there is consistency. Like you said, if you give them a novel stimulus that's way beyond what they're used to, then yeah, that's probably not good. But if they're consistently pushing, like you said, I'm in 100% agreeance there. So very good.
And that's, you know, to get, I oftentimes get the question from college coaches or high school coaches or dads when they see me in off season or whatever it is, and they say, hey, you know, I was always told not to barbell bench press or not to shoulder press, not to do anything overhead. And my first question, for instance, I got that question from a coach just the other day. We're walking around the campus here, and he just, pitching coach, asked me, he said, hey man, what do you think about pitchers and being overhead? And I said, well, who are you asking for? And he said, well, this specific kid we got from a college this year, he likes to do stuff overhead. You know, that's wrong, right? And I said, well, how long has he been doing it? And his answer was, well, he says he's been doing it his entire life. And not that I'm an advocate of going overhead, and if that's not in the organizational program, then it's just not in our program. But my question and my thing and a reason why some people might think I'm crazy is, if you've trained your body to do it and your body has that range and your body has that ability and you have been injury free in the past in doing it, then I don't see a problem in doing it. The problem with some type of shoulder overhead movement is if you don't have that range, if it does cause impingement, or if it is not something that you're used to doing. But I think if it is something that you have trained your body to do, if it is something that you have the movement capabilities and the range to do, then I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do it. I don't see why you wouldn't do it, especially if it's something that you feel has been an integral part of your program and an integral part of the reason why your program's been successful up to this point. I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
Spot on, man. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's really, really refreshing to hear too. So transition just a little bit. What do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach, quote unquote, successful in this field?
Well, I have a couple notes on that right here. So I'm going to kind of look down a little bit, and I don't want to botch what I was thinking earlier. But I personally believe that success is fluid. I don't believe that success is a brick wall and you get to it and you stand there and you relish in it. I think success is fluid, and it's ever defining every single day. I think it changes when I wake up, whether or not my success is the major leagues or success is, you know, achieving a coordinator role or whatever success is. It's never somewhere you get and you stop and you say, boom, I've made it. And so in that, when I was writing that down this morning, I really got to thinking that I think that success, truly successful people never get to the point where they think that they're successful. I think that truly successful people never get to that moment where they look back and say, yep, I've done it. I've completed it. Great job. I'm successful. You know, a little while ago, I was somewhere and somebody asked me what my largest fear in this world was. And I told them that satisfaction was my largest fear in the whole world, is being satisfied with anything I've done. I never want to get to a point and say, yeah, I'm satisfied with what I've done. I'm good. It's always got to be moving forward. And I think that is the key, not only to success in strength and conditioning, but in success in a lot of things we do in this world today. And that is never getting to a point where you think success has been achieved and I'm done with it. So like I said, success is fluid. And I think that it's something that is ever changing. And I hope in my life it's ever changing. To be honest with you, I hope I never get to the point where I feel like I am successful.
Incredible stuff. It's, I mean, you set a point, and like you said, if it's, oh, I get to the big leagues, and then you get to the big leagues, it's like, well, now what? And I mean, if you take the attitude, like you said, of, okay, I've just reached a certain point, but I want to keep going, then you never stagnate and you never become complacent. So spot on with that one. That's an incredible answer, honestly. So what advice do you have for others in this field? Maybe young guys like myself, looking to move up in the field, or even guys who have been around for a while, who are just hungry for knowledge.
Yeah, you're asking what my advice would be to somebody trying to grow within the field.
Yeah.
My biggest advice is to be, and this is going to sound cliche, but honestly, one of the reasons why it sounds cliche is probably because it's true. Is to be true to, and I wrote here, be true to your morals, your experience, and your education. I think at the end of the day, if everything that you do, you truly are behind, you truly can back it, not only with what you believe is right for you, but that you can explain through research that you've personally done and that you think from your experience has truly been what works. When you truly back yourself, that will give you the confidence that you need to really throw down, whether it's a program or whether it is precedent of some kind, that's confident, that you have some precedent behind, that you've got some either research or experience or education behind. And when you can do something like that, I think there's nothing truer than that. So I think whatever kind of strength coach you are, if you're the kind of guy that likes to yell and get out and really be high energy, or if you're the kind of guy who likes to be a little more relaxed and get closer with guys, speak closer to them, and or if you're the kind of guy who is more technical and you want to be very technical, be exactly who you are. And I truly believe that the right part of strength and conditioning, the right sector of it, and you will meet at some point. It'll just be great. You know, I've kind of come into baseball. I've spent very little bit of time with a lot of different populations, whether if it's professional football and professional hockey, private sector, high school, college, and just baseball has been what has been perfect for me. And that's just come from me truly being myself within the realm of strength conditioning. And I think once you do that and find out, you know, strip yourself completely. And I'll go back to some philosophy here. Lao Tzu in his work Tao Te Ching says, be as the uncarved block. Always return to the uncarved block. So I always try to return to where I started out in strength conditioning, where those original facets of my personality have evolved into where I am through education, knowledge, whether if it's seminars or continuing ed, where those have taken me. I try to go back to where I used to be personality-wise and as a strength coach, as a raw strength coach. And now that I've flown into where I am and knowledge-wise and experience-wise, always try to bring that part of me that was the most genuine before it ever got put, you know, one thing in my head to another thing in my head. you need to be this way, you need to be that way, you need to be this way. I go back to where I was originally and say, this is who I really am. And now this is all the knowledge that I have. You pick from it and you continue it, you try to build it, but always trying to return to that uncarved block and just make sure you don't forget where you came from. And I think the truer you say to yourself, the better it will be and the more confidence you'll have in yourself.
Great advice. Great advice. I always tell people, the best person that you can be is yourself. And it's spot on. Awesome. I'm going to steal that quote also. Be as the uncarved block. I'm stealing that one from you. So,
Well, you're stealing it from Lao Tzu, so you can have it.
Wherever it's coming from, I'm stealing it nonetheless. So that's a really, really good quote. Really good advice. So we talked a little bit off camera about books that you're reading. Where are you going for continuing ed, books that you're reading or seminars you're attending, podcasts you're listening to, even websites that you're visiting? Where do you go for continuing ed, and maybe what are some examples of what you are reading right now?
Well, as simple as it can be, one of the biggest places I do continuing ed is I just go to the NSCA website and go to the Strength Conditioning Journal and the Journal of Strength Conditioning Research, and I just look through and try to find things that do interest me. I think it's important that you find continuing education pieces that interest you. Because if I don't want to know about, applied sports programs, so as it comes to swimmers, who are 12 to 16, then I'm probably not going to retain that much about it. But if I see something that I truly like, I will go through it and read it and really try to understand it. As far as the seminars and things are concerned, as an organization, we've always gone to the baseball winter meetings with the PBSCCS, and we always do the winter meetings with the NSCA. And I think both are great. I think both are great in their own right, education standpoint. And I think I think that all strength conditioning coaches in baseball winter meetings is a great, great time, not just to see all the other strength coaches, which is big and great because you always get ideas from other guys and you see things, and or maybe you look across the field and you see somebody and you're like, man, I really like that. But in the craziness of the series, you may not have the time to really sit and talk with them, and that's a great time to do that. Or you see strength coaches who've been in the game for years and years, and you can kind of pick their brain. I think that's great. As far as books are concerned, I'm gonna go back to Easy Strength by Dan John. I think it's one of the simplest yet probably sneaky genius works when it comes to strength and conditioning. Some people might have a problem with that, but I really enjoy it. It's very simple, and it's one of those kind of, if you haven't read it, you've been in the field a little while, you think, why didn't I think of this? Or you think this is stupid until you see it. But I think it's well written. It's an easy read. And as far as books that I've just finished, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And it took me a while to get through that book for many reasons, but it is one of those that you want to stop and pay attention to after reading it for a little bit. You want to stop and reflect on it. Obviously, Plato's The Republic, I would at least recommend book 5 and 6 if you don't have time to read the whole thing. And another great one would be Cicero's On the Good Life. And that's more not just professional, and more of kind of a whole, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, or like I said at the beginning of this interview, it's more of a mind expansion book. And as far as podcasts are concerned, I'm not very much for the podcast. For me, podcasts are more so for what I enjoy. So I listen to kind of a lot of Alan Watts, who's more of kind of a spiritual podcast. He's a Buddhist, so he talks a lot about being calm and chill. So, and being a strength and conditioning coach, which is always so high energy, to listen to something that it's all about meditating and being calm, it's probably it's a great mix for me. But like I said, I'm not specifically a podcast guy, I'm more of a book reader. But I just encourage that continuing education is not just a thing that you do for strength conditioning, but it's something that you can do and build, as you, when you come forth as a strength coach, you're not just what you read in a book. You're not just the person you are when you wake up. You're a conglomeration of everything that you've been since you were born, all the experiences that you've had. And, Everything coming together comes out in each moment of the day. So I encourage not only to continue your education from a strength and conditioning standpoint, but be more well-rounded and really understand things from many different standpoints and understand what you think of them. I think that's important.
Couple of things there. One, Dan John, one of my favorite authors. He just, like you said, you read it and you're like, this is so simple. Why didn't I think of it? And two, that's the beauty of continuing ed, right? Like books, podcasts, you can pick up anything on anything. It doesn't have to be strength and conditioning. And I think when we get away from the strength and conditioning bubble, it actually kind of benefits you once you come back to it. So a lot of good resources. There's some books I'm going to actually look into just from you recommending them on there. So we've been at it about 30 minutes, man. I'm thinking lightning round. You in on it?
What's that?
Are you in on a lightning round?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's bring it to me.
All right, let's do it. I got four questions for you. First,
all right.
First one, who is your biggest influence in the strength and conditioning field?
The biggest influence in the strength and conditioning field would be, his name is Jeff Friday. He is the assistant strength and conditioning coach with the Cincinnati Bengals. And he's one of the first ones that I really, really got in touch with in the field and still keep up with him to this day. He's been very successful. He's been in the NFL for, oh man, probably more than 15 years at this point. And he had some really good advice. He was the one who had the quote, the adherence. The program is only as good as the adherence to it.
Cool. All right.
He also introduced me to the book Easy Strength by Dan John. So he's winning in many ways.
He's got
to
be a smart guy then. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, if you could only train with one piece of equipment, what would it be?
Barbell.
I can
barbell.
Dig it. I can dig
don't
it.
Even need plate. I don't even need plates. I just need a barbell.
Complexes, right?
We'll figure it out.
Number three, biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally.
Whoa, biggest accomplishment professionally or no personally. Well, the biggest accomplishment professionally would be getting this job originally in baseball. It's probably the best I felt. When I did that, it came out a long time, shooting my resume, different places, not knowing where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. So now that I look back, I think that's probably the best. Personally, the best accomplishment for me was starting my life after college. You know, I didn't choose to go back home. I didn't live back at home. I got a job, moved to Cincinnati, and kind of built everything I have now from, you know, what I got for graduation and all the clothes I had in my college apartment or college house. I kind of built everything from that right there. And so whatever I have now, whether if it's a little or a lot, it's all built from what I had on graduation day in college. So I think personally, just each day that I'm moving forward, I think continues upon that personal accomplishment of starting my life after a senior year in college.
Cool. All right, last one. One of my favorite ones. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Any career other than strength and conditioning? Oh, goodness. That's a good. Well, that's a great one. Seeing as I was good at it, I was always going to be a Major League Baseball player, and it was good that never worked out. I didn't have the temperament for that. I think in another life, you know, I'll be a professional fitness guy, like a CrossFitter or something like that, like a professional one. I'll be fine with that. You know, I'm probably going to hear that from about everybody I work with currently, and I'll hear about it. But, yeah, I'll be a professional CrossFitter. I'll be fine with that.
I'll tell you what, man, I watched a documentary on Netflix about the CrossFit Games, and it was incredible to watch. I want to go lift right now. I want to get after it. And
yeah, you know, to be able to just train all day long and just you train and you eat and you train and you eat and you eat and you train. You know, you can say what you want to about CrossFit and how it's unsafe or whatever you want to. And that's a mini hour interview for another time. But it would just be fun to wake up and have nothing to do but eat and train.
That's dream.
That's a solid answer for me right there.
Yeah, I'm agreeing 100% on that one. All right, man, it's been awesome. You've been great. A lot of good stuff. If the listeners want to get in contact with you, where can we get more from you?
Well, you can email me at mgregory@reds.com. I'm not actually on very much social media. That's probably one of the big chinks in my armor right now. I'm not very old when it comes to age, as far as I am in that generation that is all about the Instagram and things like that. But I'm an old soul when it comes to I prefer deliberate communication over social media, so I don't really have very much of that. But feel free to email me with any questions or criticisms or anything about that last CrossFit comment you want to.
I'm right there with you, man. I just got an Instagram recently. I have no idea what I'm doing on it, but luckily my wife knows what's going on, so I'm
Hey,
right
there
there
you go.
with
We all need somebody
you.
like that.
I'm right there with you. All right, man. Well, it's been great. We'll be in touch soon, and thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Chris.
Yeah, man. Talk to you soon. All right, everybody, that concludes our episode with Morgan. I hope you enjoyed it. He's got a lot of really cool, out of the box thoughts on a lot of different things. Three things that I took from him. Number one, he talked about the concept of fluid success and how you should never truly be satisfied with where you're at. Number two, find what interests you in terms of strength and conditioning, in terms of other continuing education. Find what interests you and it'll stick with you more. And number three, his quote, be as the uncarved block. I love that talk, and going back to what truly is what you believe in makes a difference when you're looking to advance in the field. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.